feel as if I'm in Parkcrest. And I have the privilege of speaking in different assemblies with different platforms. And personally, I like Zoom the best because I see all of your smiling faces. Not all of you, unfortunately, but when I see the names, sometimes I'll take out the book and just look at the book, and I see Jenny there and Mark and Sylvia. Oh, Sylvia left us, did she? No. Anyway, here we are. So I'm going to stand up. Since I'm going to preach, I'm going to stand up. And I might sound a little bit emotional, and some people are going to say, well, you're getting old. But, you know, you sing a song like that, and I just think how wonderful it is to be a part of the family of God. And it's people say, well, because of my age. But I can remember at 10, 11, 12 years old, sitting in the front of the chapel, not taking communion, but just listening to all these grown men and women singing songs like Because He Lives. And it's wonderful, and it's wonderful that we're a part of the family of God. And I trust the message this morning. See, I'm standing up now. I do have pants on. I didn't leave my pajama bottoms on. So if I happen to move too much, I thought I better put a pair of pants on. Mark, can I have some of that? Well, it looks good. Looks good. Excuse me. How about that person having a cup of coffee there? Anyway, isn't it wonderful to get together? And we are a family, so we can crack a few jokes, can't we? Yeah, no. Do I have to be pious? I mean, I got my tie on. Anyway, Mark, if you could let me get on the share the screen, I will share my screen with you, and we're going to have a wonderful time, I trust, in Acts chapter 8. Yes, let me see. Here we go. It looks like it's working good so far on my end. Now, let me just see, Mark, if everything's copacetic on your end. How's that, Mark? Thumbs up? Awesome. What a technician. Yes, as I said, we've used different platforms in different assemblies, and sometimes the reception is horrible. Sometimes the whole system doesn't work right, but it's wonderful to be together here. Now, I've been allotted a chapter 8. Now, I had the privilege of sharing with you chapter 5, God uses people and problems to accomplish his purpose. And I hope that was a blessing to you. And then a couple of weeks ago, I spoke on scripture and service in chapter 6. Chapter 6, remember we went through, is it just scripture? Or service, a service, a scripture, or do they go together? Can you tell somebody about Jesus and not serve them, or can you serve somebody and really without the purpose of sharing scripture? Well, we went through chapter 6 on that. Today we're going to be talking about everything's going to be all right. And because you're such a musical assembly, because you're such a, I enjoy the worship. And those are beautiful songs, Mark. And I know every one of them. I could sing as loud as I could. And nobody had to go like this. That's one thing nice about Zoom. I can sing. And even though I'm off key and loud and sometimes jiggling around in my seat, people don't see me. But anyway, here we are. I'm going to share a 1 minute song that my granddaughters made for you. And listen to the words, please.
Everything will be all right. Throw the words down again. The world is in his hands. Your world is in his hands. The creator of the universe conquered every fear.
Now, that's my song, theme song for today's messages. Now, did you get the words? They sang, everything will be all right. There's a man who calms all of my fears, and love that makes the pain disappear. He keeps his promise and takes care of me. He's the anchor of my faith. He's my guarantee. Everything will be all right. Todo va a estar bien. The world is in his hands. Your world is in his hands. Your world, my world, is in his hands. The creator of the universe conquers every fear. The world is in his hands, and everything will be all right. Well, isn't that a wonderful song? Did you enjoy it? No? No? Yeah? No? Anyway, I thought you might like that because of the beautiful people you have singing in your church. Now, these granddaughters of mine in Argentina, they sang it, and you're going to say, well, that's okay. They're young. They're innocent. And we who are older, well, do we really believe it? Do you believe that everything's going to be all right? Do you believe it? Oh, everybody's mute. Okay, that's fine. I hope I get some nodding. Oh, I got thumbs up from one person, but I can only see three on here because I've got, anyway, I believe after today's message, you might change your mind. It's pretty difficult out there. Yesterday, I was sitting at Second Beach after riding my bicycle down there, and I had my mask beside me because I went and got an ice cream cone. Oh, was it ever good? Anyway, I took the mask off when I ate my ice cream. But you would sit on the log, you'd think there's no pandemic. But you know, when we read our scripture, when we read what we're going to be reading today, and it's very interesting when you go to Acts chapter 8. So turn in your Bibles, please, to Acts chapter 8. And we're going to look at a comparison between the time of Paul, Saul, between them and today's problems. You got it there? Acts chapter 8. We're not going to read all the scripture because it's a large scripture, but we're going to be referring to different verses. But we read in chapter 1 of Acts 8, Saul was in total agreement with putting Stephen to death. Well, they didn't have a pandemic, but they were having problems, weren't they? And then also in verse 1, it says, a great persecution began against the children, against the church, the children of God, the church in Jerusalem. And also in verse 1, it says, and they were all scattered throughout all the region Judea and Samaria. And then in verse 3, when you read down a little bit, it says, as for Paul, he made havoc. I like the word havoc. To the church, entering into homes and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. Now, if I went and said to, hey, Philip, hey, Stephen, everything's going to be all right. Don't worry about it. Take it cool, man. What do you think they would say? What would you think they would say? Well, today, I've been on the news. I've been looking at the different newscasts today. I never used to, but now with the computer, I have the different things on my computer. You can't see it. No, you can't see it. No, anyway, you know, I got the CTV news. I've got the BBC news. I got the CN news. I've got the NBC news. I've got Fox News, and I've got news because preaching, I have to try to be up to date. But today, many of us can't see all of our loved ones. That's a problem. That's a problem. Today, a lot of people can't work and they're having financial problems. Now, in the day of Paul, Saul, Philip, Stephen, and the early church, they were going through this in a different way. They were being persecuted and they were scattered all over the place, just like you and I are scattered. I'd love to be there in front of you. I'd love to give some of you a hug. I'd give you all a hug, but I don't know you all, and it's not the custom here. But some of you, I know enough, and it is a custom that you can do that. I can remember last year and the year before, I've been in the bank in the lineups. And how many times people would turn around to me and say, how about my personal space? Well, I give them their personal space today, but I got in trouble. I really did, honestly. I got in trouble when I was going to bank lineups and other lineups because being the way I am and being from so many years in La Belle Province of Quebec and also being so many years in Argentina, we are together more. It's a custom. We do a lot of more hugging and kissing. And I always give the example, if we came to Parkcrest there, when you open, and there's 10 people go to church, you would probably have one person in each role. You wouldn't all be in one. Where you go to an Argentine church and there's 10 people go to church, they'd be on the same fila, in the same role. But anyway, today, financial problem. Today, we can't go to church. And that affects me. I love church. I really do. I know some people are, I wouldn't say happy about the pandemic, but they like to be at home, and that's fine. That's good. But I like to go to church. I like to see cara to cara. I like to see your faces. I like to see your smiles. We can't go to the graduation of our sons and daughters and grandchildren. Today, I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't do the other thing. All the different things I can't do because of the pandemic. You know, I went to a memorial service the other day online. They couldn't have more than so many people at the funeral. I mean, you know, and we can't even go to Amble Island. I had to put that in because I know someone's watching that's pretty upset about that. I know we all are. We can't go to Amble Island. These are all can'ts. Yes, there are problems today. There are problems today that I don't know when we're going to get through. I don't know how we're going to get through, but there are some big problems today. And there was problems in Acts chapter 8. And what I'd like to do is compare the problems in Acts chapter 8 and apply it to the problems we have today. Are you with me? Yeah, good. Okay, let's go. But first I'm going to tell you, God will give you the strength to get through to it if you obey some of the basic rules that we're going to look at in the scripture. God will help us. You know, that when I was preparing this sermon, I looked through the internet and, you know, don't worry, don't be afraid. Everything's going to be okay. Whoopee! That's what people think. Well, some people don't think that. A lot of people, everything's going to be okay, but I believe it. I believe it. I don't think it. The anxiety, your anxiety is lying to you. That's one thing you've got to realize. You are loved going to be okay. God loves you. Even though you don't understand it, even in the time of Acts chapter 8, many of the Christians didn't understand it. We're going to see from scripture that God loves you. And God loves me, and that's for sure. You know, when we think of it, we think of some of these things. Have no fear. Don't worry. Don't be afraid. Don't have anxiety. Everything is going to be all right. And as I was looking in the scripture, I looked at over 100 verses saying that everything was going to be okay. It actually uses that phrase or that system. Have faith in God. Everything will be all right. These are different things that I read in scripture and read on the internet. How about this one? Relax. Sit back. Have a cup of coffee. Everything's going to be all right. You know, everything's going to be all right. Rest. Everything's coming together. Well, I looked at the news this morning and I'm going to share some thoughts with you. Things aren't coming together. But for us who know and love the Lord Jesus Christ, I can tell you on the basis of the Word of God, everything's going to be okay. How about this one? 5 Bible promises that everything is going to work out. How about, I got a feeling everything's going to be all right. These are different things that you read. But you know, everything is going to be all right. You know, this pandemic is pretty horrible, isn't it? I'm telling you, I'm finding it difficult myself in many ways, even though I can't get out on my bike and I can get away from the house and enjoy life a little bit in that way. But, you know, the bottom line, and don't make a mistake, that this virus, this epidemic is a big problem that's expected to get bigger. You're going to say, oh, no, wrong. Things are opening up. Well, this morning, I went on a lot of sites, and some of you are going to say it's all a host. But, you know, it's unbelievable. There is 14,343 cases in the world today. Oh, you're going to say it's a hoax. 6,003 have died. And in Canada, there's 109,999 cases, and there's 8,800. You're saying it's going to be all right, Ron? Yes, it is going to be all right. Even though it's going to get worse in the eyes of the world. For those who are infected, as well as those who are trying to avoid infection, things are trying times. These are tough times. I mean, I don't like going all over the place, especially with glasses on and wearing my mask. I mean, let's face it. I don't like it, but I'm taking it off because you're far enough away, but I don't like it. I guess I should have put the Brazilian flag on there. I got two smiles anyway. Anyways, God is so good. We can always hope that these threats that are before us will not come true. And some people, as I say, think it's just, you know, invention. And there's websites telling you that, and it shows you how to see if it's real, if it's not real. There's so much lies going on. But we are in a pandemic that, personally, I think we still have to be very carefully. And I'm not being political. I'm just saying what I believe. Yes, everything is going to be all right. You know, when we look at this, we have to realize that there has been 15 major pandemics in the last 2,000 years. All of them have lasted between 1 and 3 years. The Black Plague, for instance, returned three times, the Black Plague. The Spanish flu came back a second time, and the more deadly than the first time. And how about the Great Depression? How about the Great Depression? I mean, these are pandemics. These are things that happened in the past. Yes, but I'm going to tell you, everything's going to be all right. You know, it's very interesting reading the story that we're studying today about Saul of Tarsus. And he was to the early church what the architect of the Holocaust, Adolf Hitler, was to the Jews who lived in Nazi Germany in 1930s. You know, this man, he was zealous. He tried every way possible to eliminate the Jewish race. So too Saul was just as zealous to exterminate the church of Jesus Christ. Paul later testifies that he was as to zeal a persecutor of the church. We find that in Philippians 3 and 6. As for zeal, persecuting the church, as for righteousness based on the law, faultless. The word zeal is a very interesting word. It comes from the noun zealous, and that comes from the verb zelo. And this, what does it mean? It means hot. It means boil. It means fervent. Saul did everything to eliminate the Christian church. Just like the pandemic right now, it would like to eliminate society, the human race. But you know, in our passage today, and we know that Saul did not succeed. We know that Adolf Eichmann did not have success. Now, when we think of the story in the Word of God here, it brings to me, it brings to my mind of something that happened a few decades ago. Because, you know, when Stephen was stoned to death, people thought it was premature. People couldn't understand it. Well, how about these five missionaries? They died. They died. They were killed. They were slaughtered. They were murdered. And many people say it was premature. And nobody thought anything good would come out of that. I mean, five young men. Five intelligent young men. Did it affect you? It did affect me. But you know, they died. But the fruit, now get the word, the fruit of their death has resulted over the decades, hundreds and thousands of missionaries going out to the field to be missionaries. Their death. And you know, the chiefs of the tribe of the Acai Indians in Ecuador, I've talked to them. I'm going to show you a picture. I had to show you a picture of me, of course, with them. But they got converted. And then the whole tribe got converted. And more and more and more and more people got converted because of this horrible, this premature, we call it, death of these five men. Five widows, children fatherless. You know, being who I am and the beautiful possibilities I've had in life, I've had the privilege of meeting some important people. I'm nobody, but because of working with the Gideons and Billy Graham and Samaritan Purse and Franklin Graham and Child Care International, I could have my picture, you know, alongside with some pretty important people. But in my life, the only people I wanted to get a picture were was with these two Aka Indians. Why? Well, because in January the 8th, 1956, on the shores of a lonely river deep in the jungles of Ecuador, natives murdered five missionaries who came to tell them about Jesus. And everybody in the world were just so saddened. I was, you know how old I was? I was 11 years old. And it affected me. And then after a while, books came out. Seven books. I read all of them. Savage My Kinsman, Dayuma Story. And I became a missionary. Because, in essence, because of these two men. And they killed five men. So when you look at this pandemic, we're going to look at it a little closer. Some good is coming out of it. We can't be totally negative. And with the death of these five missionaries, a lot came out of it. I took this picture in 2000. I look much younger there. Had a tie on too. Not bad looking. Oh, excuse me. Yes. Anyway, with these fellas, I was at a missionary conference with 11,000 missionaries. 11,000. Yep. In Amsterdam. It was called Amsterdam 2000. And I worked on a solution committee with my wife. We worked just about 16 hours a day trying to solve the problems because we speak the three languages, pero no pali Portuguese. If I had that, it would have been number four. But anyway, we were there solving problems. And in one of the meetings, Nat Saint, the son of one of the missionaries that were murdered, asked the people when they made the presentation of these two gentlemen, how many of you in this congregation were affected by the death of my father? 11,000 missionaries. Three quarters of them put their hands up. I put my hand up. I was affected. And when you think of the death of Stephen, we're going to see some very positive things that came out of that. And we're going to think of where we are today in this pandemic. And we've got to look at some of the positive things. And we've got to run with the program. Let me explain what I mean. You know, when Stephen was stoned, the floodgate of persecution opened up. We read in Fox's Book of Martyrs, kill us, torture us, condemn us, grind us up to dust. Your injustice is proof that we are innocent. We are mowed down by you, and the more in number we grow. The blood of Christians is the seed, dear friends, the seed. And indeed, the blood of the martyrs and the blood of Stephen was the seed sown that bore much missionary fruit, even as promised by the Lord himself. Look what the Bible says. Except the corn of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. Yes, we're going to see fruit come out of this epidemic. That's for sure. So how are we going to tackle this passage in chapter 8? Well, the way I'm hoping to do it is first, let's try to remember who God is. In this pandemic and in the problem in Jerusalem with Stephen and the martyrdom of this man of God, this deacon, this great man of God, let's remember who God is. We're going to see that from Scripture. Let's try to remember what God can do. And let's try to remember to allow God to keep working through you and through me. Is that right? Those are the three things. And I might suggest with you, if you're not making notes, I always tell people to open up the camera and just take a screenshot of that. And then you can look at this a little later on. Or on your computer, mine is Control F4, and I can get a picture of this. But anyway, that's just a little extra on the side. But it might be good to write it down so you can see these things and enjoy them a little bit later on. You know, this whole problem that we're going through now makes people remember the scale and the devastation of 9/11. I mean, we didn't think we were going to get through that. We didn't think that we're going to survive. I can remember 7:30 in the morning, Eleanor McDougall phoned me up and said, are you looking at the news? Oh, 7:30 in the morning, I wasn't looking at the news, but she was. And I turned on the television and I saw it. Wow. What crisis. How about the crash in 2008? Many people have lost millions, millions and millions and millions. Yes, we are in a global pandemic. But everything going to be all right. Did we get through 9/11? Yep. Thank God. Did we get through the financial crisis of 2008? We sure did. Are we going to get through this pandemic? Yeah, sure. Religious worship will look different. The Christian people, the Muslim people, the Jewish people, everything is going to change. But as we adapt, let's try to remember who God is. Who is God? This virus has no limit. And this virus, nothing in the Bible, nothing in the nature of God suggests that bad things won't happen in the course of our life. If you live long enough, something will, in fact, nearly crush you. How many times have you been just about crushed? I have, but it doesn't change the nature of God. It doesn't. And I can contest to that. It says in John 16:32, indeed, the hour is coming, yes, has now come, that you will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone, and yet I am not alone because the Father is with me. Now look at verse 33. This is an encouragement for every one of you there in Zoom land. I wonder if that's what they call it, Zoom land. Anyway, in watching Zoom, look at verse. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Isn't that exciting? If you've got Jesus, Jesus has overcome the world. And even because of this pandemic, it hasn't changed the nature of God. Nothing, nothing. One other thing, this virtue does not change the nature of God, and also it doesn't change the God's love for you. For God so loved you and so loved me that he gave his only begotten son. So this pandemic, keep in your mind, point number one, that the nature and the love of God hasn't changed. Some people think it has. I read a lot now on the internet, and I have more time than I ever had in my life. And I read in the Bible more, and I listen to more messages. I go to church 3 to 4 times on Sunday because of the difference in time between Quebec and between here in Argentina. I am so, so religious now. Do I look it? No, I'm not. I'm only kidding. No, I'm not. But I am enjoying the time. I'm not enjoying the situation. You know, the Bible is very clear on this. So remember first that the who God is, the nature of God. Now let's look at what can God do. Remember the story of Joseph? I'm in the process of preparing a message for Cascade Gospel Chapel on Joseph. And it just happens to be along these lines. And what it says, don't be afraid. That's what it says in the Bible. Indeed, don't be afraid. And I'm telling you, don't be afraid. Because God has everything in his control. Even though we don't see it, don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intend to harm me, but God intended it for good. To accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children. And he assured them and spoke kindly to them. This is Joseph. I mean, come on now. Let's face it. Joseph was thrown into the pit. He was sold to the Egyptian people as a slave. He went to Egypt. And what happened to there? Boom! He got thrown into prison. Oh, come on. You're going to say everything's going to be all right? Well, this is proof that in the case of Joseph, everything was okay. Everything turned out right. God has a purpose. And we can remember what God did for Joseph. He'll do for you and he'll do for me. He'll do for all of us. That is so important. Many times something good comes out of something bad. Yes? We will never be the same after this. That's true. I was listening to news the other day and it was saying how that even the architects are building buildings, are planning buildings with this in mind. Things are going to change. And we might have to change also. But God is with us. He's on our side. Now, in the aftermath of the disaster, you're going to say, where was God? Where's God now? Why is there, let me just check that thing again. Why is there 603,111 people die? Where was God? You're going to say, how could God have done this? This is what people are saying to me. We did a prayer walk again for Cascades, and we met up on the other block, the mailman. And you know what we said to him? Sir, can we pray for you? You know what he said? Yes. And he bowed his head. And after we prayed, he made the sign of the cross, and he thanked us. I think the word is facetiously. He was so happy that we prayed for him. People are looking because of the pandemic. How could a good God allow this to happen? Yes, this is what people are saying. But I can say a lot of good is coming out of this, and a lot of good came out of the death of Stephen. What was it? We've got to get back to there. Why, God? Why? Why am I'm undone. I'm despaired. I can't go on. Is that what you're saying? Well, I think we can go on because of what God did, and we have examples of them also in Scripture, how God does it. The entire process was a wonderful thing in regards to Joseph. Now, Stephen died. Stephen was a martyr. And the church had to scatter, just like Parkhurst. You scattered out of your facilities, out of your building. I'm the only one at church right now. Yes, I'm the only one in my mind. But physically, we're scattered. We're all scattered. Just like the Christians in the first century were scattered because of the death of Stephen. Christianity might have stayed in Jerusalem forever if Stephen wasn't killed. They were so comfortable. They were so relaxed. Do you know, they met together in the homes daily. We read that. We use that when we talk about the Lord's Supper. They met and broke bread daily. They were having a super duper time. Whoopee! The fellowship was just beautiful. And as I said a couple of weeks ago there at Parkcrest, how wonderful it was to be upstairs with the salon, the upper auditorium full. How wonderful it was to go downstairs and get all those good foods during meetings and sometimes for lunch. We were having a great time. We were enjoying fellowship. Woo! It was a party, just like in Jerusalem. But they were scattered. And I'm a Christian today, in a sense, because they were scattered. Because if they had kept their close-knitted family relationship and goodsy-woodsy-judsy time together, then they wouldn't have to tell people about. But they were scattered. Christians left Jerusalem. God used persecution to chase the gospel to every corner of the world. Yes? It turned out perfectly. God was at work in a different situation. Can you imagine all those refugees leaving Jerusalem and in amongst the Christians were non-Christians and talking together, and one was evangelizing the other? I can remember when the problem in Goma Zaire in 1995, I was there. And 1.5 million people left. And they were going along. Can you imagine what was going on, talking? We have faith today because the gospel was spread. We have faith today because the gospel went out from Jerusalem. They didn't want to go out. They didn't. They didn't want to go out. But they did go out, thank God. But it took persecution. So there's a good thing came out of that. Are you with me? Faith, then, is believing that God is at work during the worst days of your life, even when you can't see how he is working. Trust God on this one. He can bring good out of the worst days of your life. God is the only one, in fact, who brings good out of crisis. God is in control. God is good. Don't forget that, please. Yes, God is at work. I used to always think that God works in mysterious ways was a verse from the Bible. And while I was preparing this sermon, I looked in the New Testament. I looked and looked and, well, God works in mysterious ways. Yeah, yeah. But read what I put up here. You won't find that exact phrase in the Bible. It's a misquote of words of a popular English hymn written by William Cowper in 1773. The actual quote was, God moves in mysterious ways. The thought is probably drawn from that actual Old Testament quote from Isaiah 55, 8, 9. So God does work in mysterious ways. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declared the Lord. As the heaven is high as the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your way. Yes, we don't understand it, dear brothers, but by faith. By faith, we can accept it. By faith. The third point, remember to allow God to keep working through you. In spite of your discouragement, in spite of your anxiety, in spite of you being frightened that somebody in your family is going to get the disease, in spite of all the inconvenience, I want you to remember Acts chapter 8, which we're studying, verse 5. It says, Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed the Christ there. Why am I so excited about this? The most important part of the story about Stephen's death and the persecution of the believers may be contained in a simple phrase here in verse 5. It's just like Jim Elliot was murdered. Millions have heard the gospel because of that. Yes? Dear friends, we've got to be like Philip. Now, at first glance, these few words may not impress you. But I'm going to go back there. I hope it works, right? Yeah. This might not impress you. Philip went down to the city. Big deal. No. It is a big deal. It is a big deal. You know, it is believed that Philip is the same as mentioned in Acts chapter 6, verse 5, one of the seven deacons to serve in the church. Philip, too, is a very important, is one of the first deacons listed after Stephen. There was Stephen, and then there was Philip. I believe they were close friends. Yeah, I believe they were close. I mean, there's two deacons working amongst the five. Remember, we talked about that? Seven? Yeah. Okay, about the five? Very likely they were close friends. Did Philip hurt to see his friend Stephen murdered? It must have crushed him. It must have crushed him. It must have broken his heart to see his friend wrapped up in grave sheets. To lie him to rest in a tomb, to know that he would never see him again here on earth. But Philip didn't just stay there. Philip did something, and we must do the same during this pandemic. Philip, what did he do? He kept breathing. Let me continue. He kept breathing, he kept moving, and he kept living. We mustn't give up. We've got to keep on keeping on. When he got his breath, can you imagine? I mean, you've got deacons there. We have deacons at Cascades, and when you're working together as deacons or elders, or you're working in Awana, you get pretty close to your fellow workers, don't you? That's how Ian and I got so wrapped up in our wonderful fellowship, Ian McDougall, because we worked together. We strove together. We prayed together. We cried together. And Philip and Stephen were the same. But when Philip was stoned to death, Philip carried on. He did not run away from God. He did not leave the family of faith. He didn't lose his trust in Christ. He didn't have a pity party. Oh, my poor friend, Philip, I'm going to give up. No, it says that he went down. And that is so important. See, there is no middle ground. We've got to keep that in mind. There is no middle ground. Keep calm and put one foot in front of the other. During this pandemic, keep moving for Jesus. Keep witnessing for Jesus. Keep inviting people to Jesus to watch the Zoom Sunday mornings. Keep inviting people to be a part of your sphere. Yes, we've got to keep on keeping important. The most important part, of course, of this is Stephen doing that. Remember when I spoke a few weeks ago, we've got to walk with God. We've got to continue walking with God. That's what we've got. Now, what else has come out of this? Besides the evangelism of the world, you couldn't get better than that. How about the joy? Out of this problem, out of the persecution, out of the death of Philip's best friend, Stephen, out of his death, there was joy. You can, how can joy come out of pandemic? How can joy come out of the murder? How could joy come out of a scattering? How can joy come out of persecution? Look at what it says in the Word of God. Just keep walking. It's true. The walking is hard. When problems come and the pain is beyond unbearable, and if we're hurt inside, when we grieve, when we cry, when we scream, Lord, help me get through this. Because some of you are going through problems way more than I am, and I'm praying for you. I have this book here, and I am praying for you. And we are to pray for one another. We have to open our Bible every day, and we have to walk with God. We have to pray every day. We have to go to this time of fellowship that we're enjoying here. And I'm glad you leave it on for 5 or 10 minutes after. I enjoy talking, listening, relating. 16th Avenue Gospel Chapel, they leave it on for a half hour. And then you hear people talking and chatting, and it's beautiful. Yes, we have to work through the process. And we have to realize that there was joy came out of this, and we're going to see that. Joy came out of this. How did joy come out of this? Well, we read it from Scripture. It says it. What does it say there? When Philip allowed God to walk with him during this troublesome times, great things happened. Paul went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed the gospel of Christ. And when the crowd heard Philip and saw the miracles, signs and wonders he did, they paid close attention to him. Evil spirits came out of many, and many paralytics and cripples were healed. So there was great joy in that city. Because of Stephen's death, Philip went down to Samaria, and he preached the gospel. And you know what Samaria is. We've talked about that in the past. You've heard that many times, Samaria. And at the end of the passage, look at the end of the passage. Look at the end of it. Here in Acts chapter 8, I just love that last verse, what it says here. Acts chapter 8, we're just about finished. Don't give up on me. Don't turn me off. No, don't hit that delete button yet. Give me 2 more minutes. But here was what it says here. And he preached the good news there and in every town along the way until he came to Caesarea. And it says that they were full of joy. And to translate the word full of joy, it's a mega joy. They had giant, overwhelming joy. The best day of your life, keep for joy. God wants to use you in his work. Yes. And today, if we look at the pandemic, we can think that there was great persecution. There was great evangelism. There was great signs and wonders. And there was great joy. Yes, persecution, but there was great joy. Thousands came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I've learned a little bit more about personal hygiene during all this. Yes, I've also realized there's clean air. There's fewer cars on the road, planes in the air. It's amazing. You read some of the articles on the in the internet, what this pandemic has done for our climate and so on. How about more contact with friends, family? I mean, I have way more contact with my friends and my family. People have come to the sidewalk here when we were in quarantine, and we would sit in our chairs and the thing, and they'd sit on the rock out in the front and we'd talk. I mean, these are positive things that come out of this, and we're not finished yet, that's for sure. What else have we got here? Learn to love and respect our neighbors. That's why we wear the mask. That's why we're trying to show our neighbors who we are and what we believe. Yes. Learning new techniques, technology, and so on and so on and so on. These are all positive things, and there's way more. I haven't got time to do it. I'm 4 minutes over now. And is anybody? No, we're still there. Good. Nobody hit the delete button yet. Renewed appreciation for outdoors. I've never done so much biking. I'm going to hit 1,000 kilometers in next week, maybe. So I'll send it to you, Andrew. 1,000 kilometers on my little 12-inch folding bike. But these are things that are positive. Yes, someday we'll look back and know exactly why it all happened. Now, we don't know what's going to happen to our families. We don't know. But to close, let's sit back, close our eyes, and listen to my granddaughters again, and then I'll close in prayer. Believe it. We'll stop my sharing, and then we'll go and just have a closing in prayer, and then I'll turn it back to you, Andrew. Heavenly Father, we thank you very much that everything is going to be all right. And we just thank you for these beautiful people. And we just ask that everything will be all right in their situations. So different, each one. Those that are aged, those are listening to this on their telephone because they don't even have a computer maybe. And those people are sort of shut out from the world. And those people in homes, we think of Fulton home that Parkcrest goes to, Heavenly Father. Those people, how much they probably enjoyed it. There's just so many different aspects of this pandemic. So we just ask in the precious name of Jesus that we will transmit the message that everything is going to be all right because we believe it by faith, and we'll give you all the honor and glory and praise that you deserve. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you again for inviting me.
Thank you.